It's time for Your Voices of Hope, a video podcast program that offers straight talk on some of the major issues facing us today: addiction, domestic violence, homelessness, human trafficking, and suicide. But more than that, it's our desire to inspire hope. Now, your host, Michelle Beyer.
Welcome to Your Voices of Hope. I am your host, Michelle Beyer. And today I am sitting here with Dan Flowers from the Akron Canton Regional Food Bank. Hey, Dan, how you doing?
Hi. Thanks for having me on your show.
Oh, I'm so glad I can actually get you out of that busy schedule. Your life looks insane. When I look at LinkedIn, which is where I keep getting a lot. I mean, you're the first person that pops up on LinkedIn.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes.
I post a lot on LinkedIn. That's my chosen social media. I like it because LinkedIn knows who it is. It doesn't mix your professional life and with your personal life. I like to just do my LinkedIn, you know?
Yeah, well, you're the first person that pops up, and I'm just watching all this craziness going on.
Yeah.
And so, I'm thankful that you can take a break.
Oh, thank you.
So, Dan, a lot of people have heard of the Akron Canton Food Bank, but they don't know what it really is or what you really do.
Mm-hmm.
Can you just give us some background here?
Yeah, I can give you kind of a high level. In fact, if I just share the kind of the story of how the first food bank was founded, I think it'll give everybody a sense of kind of how basically they all work. The first food bank was founded in 1967. There was a gentleman named John Van Hangel who was volunteering at the St. Mary's Soup Kitchen. It was a soup kitchen in Phoenix in the late 60s. And he sat down, as volunteers often do, and had lunch with a couple of the guests that were there eating at the soup kitchen that day. They got into a conversation about a food company nearby that was throwing food away and that these people were going and kind of digging out of the dumpster. And John just had the idea, like, you know, well, maybe I'll go down and just ask them to give it to us before the food needs to be thrown away. We'll take it down to the soup kitchen. And so he did. He went down and the company agreed to do it. And then he decided, well, I'm just going to start asking everybody who runs a food company if they'll make donations. So he started going, and eventually he brought back so much food to the soup kitchen, they couldn't distribute it all. So he started calling other charities in town, like the Salvation Army and the Red Cross, like, I've got all this food. Do you want some of it? Well, eventually they started collecting so much food that all of the charities that he was giving it to decided to go in together and rent a warehouse that they could keep all that food in, and that all the charities would come and take that food, and that they would all take the food they were picking up from little local donors and consolidate it to one agency. And the first food bank was born, the St. Mary's Food Bank of Phoenix, Arizona. If you Google firstfoodbank.org, it will take you to the St. Mary's Food Bank in Phoenix, and that's in the late 60s. So the food bank movement started to spread across the country after that. Local groups of charities were getting together and saying, let's form up a food bank of our own. That happened here in 1982, where it was the Catholic Charities under the leadership of Tom Allio. There was a number of agencies in Stark County and Summit County that came together and formed in 1982 what was known then as the Akron Area Food Bank. Since then, it's grown tremendously. Now our food bank is the source of emergency food for 500 soup kitchens, homeless shelters, and food pantries in Medina, Summit, Portage, Wayne, Stark, Tuscarawas, Carroll, and Holmes County. Last year, we had $54 million worth of food that we ran through this food bank. It's the largest human service agency now in the region, and that's because of the value of the food that's donated to us. Most of the food that we get now still comes from donations from manufacturers by the truckload. That's kind of the story about how food banks work. If you think about pretty much any charity that's giving food to people in need across eight counties, they're getting most of that food from the Akron Canton Regional Food Bank.
And the quality of the food is amazing. I mean, people think, oh yeah, they don't even, I hear a lot of complaints, you know, and it's, I have to shut some of the people down. You know, oh, well, I don't want to go to a food bank. The food you get there, no, it's pretty much like going to a grocery store. You know?
Yeah, my life's work has been to combat that mission.
Mm-hmm.
it, both in the things that I say, but also in the actions that we take to try to make sure that the food that we get is the best possible food. I mean, our food safety. I mean, in the early days, food banks were, you know, small little outfits in the corners of warehouses. I mean, we've got an 85,000 square foot warehouse here. We've got 80 full-time staff members, a full-time food safety manager. And so, you know, our procedures, it's not like the old days. A lot of churches refer to the operation that they have where they give away food on Wednesday night in the basement of the church as a food bank. But, you know, like we think of them as food pantries. The food bank that we have here and food banks across the country have hit scale. You know, so what you come and see here is a pretty organized system of emergency food distribution.
Yeah, I know that, you know, my husband's taken a tour of that facility. And from what I hear, of course, you know, you allow Gary to take a tour, but not me.
I was just going to have you come. And we'd love to have you. Come in.
I hear it.
Any of your listeners, too, any of your viewers. We welcome tours. We love to show people the food bank. We work hard to make you proud. That's for sure.
It's phenomenal. And like I had said to you, you know, before we got on here, I brought a client to a facility to pick up some food. And she came out with this huge cake that would probably feed about 15 people. And it was a strawberry shortcake with whipped cream icing. And I'm like, I wanted to eat it. It was like all this bags and bags of food, and it was top quality. It looked like she just went to the grocery store.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that. You know, the cakes are interesting because sometimes I get criticized for accepting donations that some people would say aren't healthy. The vast majority of food we distribute is produce and stuff. But
yeah,
let me tell you, I defend distributing, you know, sometimes sweets for people too, because we all enjoy those things. And I just want everyone to have an opportunity to enjoy the same little things in life. So I'm glad you said that. You know, we have these folks that come to the food bank and take cakes and redecorate them. We'll put kids' names on them. A lot of kids don't get birthday cakes.
Right. You know? Right.
That makes me feel good.
That is, I know someone that will put boxes together, and they have cake mix and things like that, and that's one of the things that they give away is for birthday parties and stuff. But so you're right, kids, a lot of kids don't have that. But so what has COVID-19 done to your life? I know what it has done to my life working for ICANN Housing and the homeless community. And I can't even imagine what it's doing to your life. And does your wife know who you are anymore?
I think she asks herself that question all the time. Who is this man? Yeah, it's pretty much consumed everything. You know, there's that song, Great Is Thy Faithfulness, where there's that line that says, morning by morning, new mercies I see. I think that's kind of where my head has tried to be lately. I mean, you know, I can say, I'll certainly talk about the work, but, you know, just to answer your question specifically, when this thing first happened, I think I grappled with a lot of initial fear, because I was like, well, it looks like there's this potentially dangerous or deadly pandemic. And no one at the food bank is going to get a pass on this. You know, no one's going to get to work from home. In fact, we're going to work more than we've ever worked. And that's been what's happened. You know, we did have some staff members that didn't have to be at work. And, you know, we sent them home for, I think they all just returned last week. But we had about, I don't know, 25 staff members working from home. But the majority of us haven't missed a day. You know, and we've been working. I think we worked the first 3 weekends in a row nonstop for 3 weeks, 7 days. All of us did for the first 3 weeks. And then since then, we've continued to work nonstop, but just not coming to the office on the weekends. Our distribution is up and everybody's really tired. You know, there's no stopping. I do see that things do tend to get, are getting a little more normalized in their insanity, because in the beginning it was like a lot of policies and procedures. The National Guard sent 40 people, and since then they've added more. And so, you know, on top of the heaviness of this whole thing in the beginning, the anxiety and fear about getting sick that I think all the staff had to confront early on, out there exposed to thousands of people putting out food in food boxes. And then the National Guard comes, and that added another layer of kind of fear and weirdness. Mm-hmm. And then now, little by little, you know, they're just kids in camouflage now, you know, to us. Yeah. We know all their names. They call us by our names. They've been a godsend, these National Guard troops. So, you know, I think that's been the evolution. You know, in the beginning, we didn't have any PPEs. You know, no one had any face masks. We were out handing out food. It was crazy. I thank God none of us have gotten sick. Not a single one of us have gotten COVID-19 here. So I'm thankful for that. Of course, we have that stuff now. But, you know, I would bet you food bankers in America are as exposed as any group you'll find anywhere. They have been out. I don't think they're getting enough credit for the courage that the food bankers have shown around this country, because they've been out not just seeing a couple people, but seeing thousands of people. So that's what's up there. Just on the numbers, I just was looking at them today. We just finished April. April was our biggest food distribution month of all time. 3.7 million, our biggest month. March was our previous record of 3.6. So we just had our two biggest months in a row. And so that is a year to date, as of yesterday, it's a 22% increase over where we were last year. And we made up that entire 22% in the last 6 weeks of food distribution. It's crazy. 35% of the people that we served in the month of April came to a food pantry for the first time ever. They weren't even on the books. So that means a little more than 3 people out of 10 that are waiting in line for emergency food right now have never needed it, have never been in.
And that's exactly what we're seeing. And that's what I was told when I interviewed from the Stark Hunger Food Bank in Canton.
Yeah.
That people that have never gone through there before are going through, that you don't even need a proxy anymore. You mm-hmm. could just go right on through. You don't have that. You're just a distribution center. People just can't go there, can they, and pick up food?
You know what? For 40 years, we have just been a distributor to charities. But last summer, we started doing a once-a-month food giveaway at the food bank, just because we have a capacity to do it. And we wanted to serve our neighbors. And so our staff wanted to do it. To be honest, I kind of resisted it because people are coming and pitching programs all the time. And you kind of have to know who you are, or you're going to go off in a million different directions. But I said, okay, I'm down. Let's just do it. Well, I'm glad we did, because we developed a competency in that experience, this once a month drive-through distribution we were doing. Now we're running them every other week. We've got one tomorrow here at the food bank. So I don't know. When's this going to air? You know?
A couple weeks.
Okay. So we're doing one tomorrow and we do one every other Thursday. And the last time we did it, we had, I think, 1,600 families come through the line stretch from the food bank down to Spaghetti Warehouse.
Okay.
So what's happened? And I have to say, like, this is such a complicated thing that's happening in our country, because I think we all see the urgency of this pandemic, and goodness sakes, it's deadly. You know, at the same time, we have just decimated the economy, and these food lines. I mean, there is pain in these food lines.
And what do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, people who have not, so many people have lost their job, don't have money, have spent their savings, are just totally destroyed by this.
Right.
And, you know, so like, there's just a cost on both sides. It's complicated.
Yes. Yeah. I can see with just in my own family, you know, I'm blessed. Gary's blessed. My daughter's been laid off. You know, she was, a server at a restaurant. Mm-hmm. You know, my son's a truck driver, so he's fine. But yeah. I have, you know, a brother-in-law in New Jersey. I'm from Jersey. So my brother-in-law, we believe he had this last year. Mm. My brother-in-law almost died. Lungs filled up. He was in the hospital for 6 months. So we believe this is what he had last year.
Yeah.
And because they never could tell us what it was. They just kept saying, you know, bad form of pneumonia. And then this, you know, they could never say it. So he had to get out of work this year. He couldn't take that chance, you know, because he would have died. And he has diabetes. So, yeah, he was a candidate for it. If it was there last year, that's, you know. Yep. So with my sister, and they're not able to work, and they're really confined. And my sister's like, we're staying in the house. Yeah. So there's a lot of people that are suffering mm-hmm. for this. So, you know, if I needed to, I have no problem going to a food bank. And I think the stigma that goes along with it really should be squashed, because it ain't that bad.
You know how I try to combat that? I just try to be super nice to the people that come. You know, that's how I try to deal with it, because yeah. I'm happy they're there. And I'm glad they came. And so, like, everybody gets a box of food, a smile, and a hug if we can, if back in the hugging days.
So how much food do they get? What do they get? What can they expect when they come in?
We ask all of our agencies to provide a 10-day supply.
Okay. That's a lot.
If you walk into the Stark County Hunger Task Force or the Second Presbyterian Church or whatever church, there's 500 of them that get food from us.
Right.
Most of them are going to, and what we always tell them is let people choose. And so forever, we've been advocating for client choice to let people come in, take your food, set it out, tell them, you know, they can get two of these and five of these or a full box of whatever they want. But client choice has always been what we've preached. But since this has happened, we've had to shift the game completely. Everything's being put in pre-made food boxes. We ask people to pull up. We ask minimal intake questions. Now we ask them to have their trunk clear when they arrive at distribution, to pop open their trunk. We'll set the box in the back of their trunk and wave them on. Try to do it as no contact as possible. You know, we had this line that went back over a mile the other day, and I think people were only having to wait something between like 12 and 18 minutes. It's way faster than getting on the Gemini in the summertime at Cedar Point.
It could be faster than going on any one of the McDonald's lines nowadays, too. Yeah, right. So,
yeah. Know, so that's. I encourage people, if you need help, get it. And that just, you know, and I know you spend a lot of time doing advocacy for, you know, substance abuse and mental health things, and I think it's all fruit on the same tree. Like, your breakthrough comes the moment you step forward and say that you need help. Right. And you know what? Everyone knows the miracle moment in therapy is when your therapist hears you empty out your closet and then says, "You're not crazy." And it says, you can come back. And that's when the miracle occurs. And so, but until you come in there and dig out your junk and face whatever fear you had before you went in, you can't get the get that pathway back and that affirmation that, you know, that you can come back.
Yeah. I would go, you wouldn't have to ask me twice, but I want to know, with all of this going on, all this food and all this other stuff, you must need donations. You must need some money. You yeah. must need some kind of help.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we were lucky. The community really rallied. We were able to, because all of our fundraisers got canceled, like Celebrity Cuisine. We're talking about Celebrity Cuisine. That got canceled. And Harvest for Hunger got totally disrupted. And so we were like, not only did we know when this hit that we were going to work harder, distribute more food than we've ever distributed, but that we were, all of our fundraisers were getting canceled. So it was, my God, that was just freak out. But we had a good fundraising month. We covered our, all of our expenses in March and again in April. And so,
that's good.
Yeah, so we're hoping that we'll be able to do that coming forward. So obviously financial support is important. You can make a gift at AkronCantonFoodBank.org. We aren't going to be out of this for months. In fact, we haven't even started working our way out of this. Right now, we're starting to run out of food. I mean, you know, we've been distributing all this extra food and we're receiving the same amount. And where's my graph? I have it on it, written on a piece of paper. I'm gonna see if I can set this piece of the paper up because I made this today, and you'll be able to see kind of what's going on. All right. Can you see this chart?
Yes. Okay.
You see the blue lines?
Yes.
That is distribution every month this year. And the green bars are last year. So you can see in March and April, see the blue line shoot up.
Yeah, yeah.
And then that orange line that goes across and down. So it's right here.
Okay.
That's our inventory level.
Oh.
And so what's going on is that we're receiving the same amount and we're distributing so much more, our inventory level is running down. And so, and it just stands to reason. If you distribute more and replenish at the same rate, then you're going to have a lower carrying inventory. But all the food we started ordering in the middle of March, only 2 truckloads have come. And so like we have a ton of food on order, like millions of pounds of food coming that is not going to hit until late May, June, July, August. That's when the response will start actually ramping up. And so we're just, like I said, we're just laying the foundation for what's going to be a crazy year. We're going to distribute, we distributed 32 million pounds of food in 2019. If we go 45 million pounds of food this year, I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, why don't you tell everybody how they can help you and where they can go to donate and if you need volunteers, you know, what people can do to help you.
Yeah, so AkronCantonFoodBank.org is the hub. If you visit that website, you can find out where to get food if you need it. There's a food finder on the website. If you want to make a financial donation, you can donate online. And usually you can sign up to volunteer online too, but we closed for volunteers because we weren't able to do adequate social distancing in our work. And then the National Guard came to help us out. So we just said, you know, we suspended it. But the National Guard, their assignment, we asked for them to stick around, but their assignment is going to end at the end of May. So we're going to be reliant back on volunteers again very soon. So we hope our volunteers will be patient and come back to us when the National Guard leaves.
Okay, well, that's good. So I'm hoping that, I know there are a lot of people that are donating. I know my church, they push to donate for you. And
thank you.
So I hope everybody out there that's listening, just, it doesn't take very much.
No.
$10, $20. We hope you could do more, but you know, more is better. So please, you know, what is your website again?
AkronCantonFoodBank.org.
Go there. Give them money. Money. This is a shameless plug. Money. So, Dan, is there anything that you want to just leave us with before we end this?
Well, I guess I would say, like, just to talk a little bit about fear, if we can. Like, when this first happened, I had a lot of fear about what would happen to the staff. And I was seeing on the news all these, you know, doctors that were renting mobile things because they were scared about getting their family sick, you know, so they're staying at campers out in the yard or whatever.
Okay. Like,
you know, what do I need? What is going to happen? I was worried for my own health, the health of my staff, my family. And, you know, I didn't have a choice. Like, I knew I had to step up and lead. And so I was like, okay, we're doing this. I'm going to go. Staff, we're going. Let's go. And then we'll be as safe as we can, but we can't not go. And I'm still a little nervous about, you know, I mean, I'm always worried about my people. Every day as I've gone, I've gotten less and less scared. And I don't think I was scared at all, like one time last week. I don't think I had any nervous thoughts. But in the beginning, I was going home and worrying all weekend, taking my temperature and all that. And so why I'm saying that is because in the coming weeks, a lot of people that have been quarantined are going to have to go back and face problems. They're going to have to work through maybe what I worked through like 8 weeks ago.
Right.
It isn't like you can take all the precautions you want, but those, for many people, that will not eliminate your fear. Mm-hmm. So that just, you just kind of have to like work your way through that. But I want to let you know, it gets better. if you keep going out, you're going to have to go out eventually anyway. Take whatever precautions you can, follow all the rules. But where the fear goes, just know that the way to get rid of fear is to face it. And so by going out little by little, I hope it works the same for you. It'll get better and better and better. And eventually, hopefully, you won't think about it at all. Don't let your guard down, but don't live in fear. That's what I wanted to say.
I love that, because that works on so many different levels. It really does. And so we shouldn't be living by fear anyway. But no, I love that. Really, and it does. A lot of people are fearful, and they're going to be, as you said, more coming out and getting fearful.
They have to work through it. And yeah. I've noticed that with our staff. Like, we had all of our warehouse workers, myself, a small group of our leaders. I was like, nobody's working from home. We are working nonstop. And that's what we did. And so, like, we had a small little band of people that were in here every day. And then people were starting getting to introduce back. Folks would get their childcare arrangements set, and they would come back. And then folks that, you know, were working from home, they'd need to come in. And everyone went through this, like, fear phase for the first few weeks, and they came back in, and then eventually everybody just got comfortable. And I think there's just, like, you realize, hey, life's going to have to go on either way.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully there isn't a bullet for me, but if there is, I'm going to die with my boots on.
Yeah. We feel the same way. You know, it is what it is. And when my time's going to come, my time's going to come, and there's nothing I can do about it, but I will not be dumb. I will take the precautions I need to take and listen to our governor.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and that's the thing. You can be responsible. You can take your precautions, but it's just like an airplane. You get that plane as safe as you can get it, but you still got to fly it, and it's still up off the ground. And so the risk is always there, but it's about, you know, trying to not be afraid after you've got to the point where you've done everything you can reasonably do. Then that's a point where you have to kind of let go of that fear a little bit. So yeah. I've had a fear journey in this, and I've tried my best to be open about it and to share, to let people know that it gets better. I don't want anyone to think, because we've been in here hammering this out, that we haven't done it in the absence of fear. We've done it in the presence of fear, but with resolve.
Right. Well, thank you so much. So, Dan, I really want to thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule and joining me here, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate that.
It was fun talking to you. Thank you.
Well, it was fun talking to you.
Everybody out there. All right. The Food Bank loves you all.
Well, we love and need you. Thank you so much. I mean, I don't know what my clients would do without you. And I'm glad that you're around. So, but I want to thank all my listeners also for listening to us today, and thank Dan Flowers from the Akron Canton Regional Food Bank. And thank you all for listening to another version of Your Voices of Hope. And if you'd like to be a guest, please go on my Facebook page, Your Voices of Hope. Go under the messenger and send me a short bio with your email address, and I'll get back to you with a time that we can get together. Or go to my Facebook page, my website, yourvoicesofhope.com, and scroll down to the bottom, and there's a form to fill out. So thank you. Have a great day. Thanks, Dan.
Say hi to Gary.
I will. Thanks.
You've been listening to Your Voices of Hope with your host, Michelle Beyer. This podcast and earlier programs are available for viewing on our Facebook page, Your Voices of Hope, or our website, yourvoicesofhope.com. A new podcast is uploaded and ready to view every Wednesday at 7 o'clock p.m. Keep your head up, keep your head up. You're not alone. Oh,